You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday. We are back with the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. And today is not the mailbag, as it normally is on Thursday, because we have not just one, but two special guests today. At the end of the show, you are going to hear from Michigan 2021 commitment, the defensive lineman from Saguaro High School in Scottsdale, Arizona, Quentin Somerville. So stay tuned for that. But by popular demand, first, we've got John Jansen. That's right, the former national championship winning All-American. You can hear him on MGO Blue between the podcast. He's on the TV. You can hear him on 97.1, The Ticket, now in the morning with Stoney. I mean, and Sirius XM every now and again, I believe, still, right, John? I don't know how, if you're still doing that, but I mean, you're everywhere. So thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you having me. I am no longer, I will be a guest, just like I used to have you as a guest on Sirius XM. So I'm relegated to a 15-minute segment there. As you know, we all like to try and stretch that a little bit. But, enjoyed my time there. Now I'm loving being on local sports talk radio here in Detroit on 97.1 The Ticket, and obviously still doing what I'm doing at Michigan with the podcast and both the In the Trenches and Conquering Heroes. So it's busy, but that's what, you know, that's what we got to do. And I love doing it because I love sports. I love Michigan athletics, and it's been a blessing.
Now, I mean, that's good that you're finally paring things down a little bit, maybe have a little bit of time with your kids and everything. Before we get too far, I got to say today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So, John, what is it like joining? I know that Stoney, your co-host, is a Michigan football fan, but I mean, you're joining a station that doesn't necessarily have that reputation, but you've been a part of it for a while. You've been over there for a while. I know you have your friendly jabs with Evan Jenkins and some others there. What's it like now that you're entrenched there, that you have that full-time spot, that you're in the morning show? What has that been like for you, and what's it like being one of the few Wolverines over there?
It's been great. I really enjoy working with Stoney, you know, Greg and Gov and Heather and you know, the whole morning crew. And that's been a lot of fun. But I enjoy that. One of the great things about sports is that people do pick a side. And, you know, it's not like politics where people pick a side and they can't see another person's point of view. It's that they pick a side and there's passion about their team. And no matter what happens, it could be, you know, 0-12, it could be 12-0, that passion is still there. And sometimes it comes out even more when the season doesn't go well. So being able to be a part of 97.1 and the fact that, you know, in the afternoon, they got a whole bunch of, you know, Spartan guys. In the midday, there's some Wolverine action there with Doug Karsh, and there's obviously Gator with the Spartan side of things. So it evens out. I think I even the docket for the crew over there, but it's been a lot of fun, and I love going back and forth talking about whether it's Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. And you know, this year Michigan gets to open up with another rival that we don't get to see every year. And it's a trophy game that we don't get to play every year with the Little Brown Jug in Minnesota. So this is a good year, obviously, to be in sports talk. It's been a challenging year, but there's been no shortage of topics.
Right. And it's definitely no shortage of topics, especially this time of year. Normally, we would expect it to be a lot more going on. But Big Ten season kicks off in just over a week, which is kind of incredible. That both it's happening, it's almost here, plus the fact that it is mid to late October, and we're just getting ready for a season to open. John, you played offensive line, obviously did an incredible job there, but you know all about what it takes to be able to get things going. on the offensive line. What do you have concerns about the fact that there are four new nominal starters? Obviously, some of those guys have returning experience, but do you have concerns about that unit? And if you do or don't, regardless, how much does it help having a couple guys who have played in games? Like Vistardis played against Ohio State last year. You saw Andrew Stuber a couple years ago getting the last three games of the year, and Ryan Hayes got the first two games of last year. So how much does that maybe help stem that?
Well, it's, you know, anytime you go into a season, and even if you've got returning starters, there is, if anybody tells you they're not nervous about what is going to happen, they're crazy, because these are 18 to 22 year old kids, and so much changes from year to year in their physical development, but so much happens in their lives. And there's been so much that has gone on in the lives of these kids over the past, you know, calendar year, let alone the last 7 or 8 months. So you never know how they're going to react, what you're going to get out of each individual. You would hope that a guy like Jalen Mayfield would be able to build upon what he was able to do last year, the reputation he built, the fact that he continued to improve throughout the year. A lot of people had talked about him, the draft gurus, as, hey, in 2021, he could be a first-round selection. Well, some of that projection is with the basis of knowledge that they're going to be able to see development in these games. And we didn't know we were going to have these games, you know, and Jalen Mayfield had said declared for the draft, and now he's back. So he will get a chance to prove that he's been able to develop his techniques, and whether it's his hand placement, hand usage, hand replacement, that's the big difference between, you know, good offensive linemen and great offensive linemen. It could be the difference between being the, you know, the 25th pick in the draft and the 5th pick in the draft. So he gets a chance to show some of those things, along with his footwork, his explosion, his strength, all of that stuff. But when you have four new starters, kind of adds to the nervousness of what they're going to be. Now, if you're going to look and try and lower that nervous level, like you had said, Ryan Hayes had an opportunity last year when John Runyon went down to get some starts. So he's been out there for the opening snap. There have been other times throughout the year where he's gotten, you know, really good opportunities to go out there and play and build his experience. So you put him over at left tackle. Andrew Vistardis is a senior, fifth-year guy. He's super smart. And so to be able to have a guy like that, even though he doesn't have experience on the field starting, he's a guy that's been around the program. He's learned from those that came before him. One of the only reasons he wasn't starting was because he had a first-round pick playing in front of him in Cesar Ruiz last year. So you've got, you know, every other guy on that offensive line right now that we've talked about has some experience, or at least got some age, you know, in experience of being at Michigan. Now you look at a guy like Andrew Stuber, who could have won that right tackle spot. We don't know how that was going to play out last year because he ended up getting hurt. You bump him into guard. Again, you've got some age and some experience at that guard spot. You know, whoever goes into that left guard spot, you know, you have an opportunity. Chuck Filiaga, I think, is a name that I've heard a lot of the coaches talk about. During bowl practice last year, when I was watching him and I got a chance to talk to Ed Warner, he was a guy that it's like a light bulb went on and everything clicked. And he was able to you could tell he was more comfortable. He was playing with good pad level. He was moving around well. So there are good and I would say excellent individuals that will have an opportunity to show when it matters most, when it's real, that they can go out there and play football. So I am a little bit nervous about the offensive line, but knowing Ed Warner, knowing these kids, it lowers that level quite a bit.
That is how I feel exactly. And to a T, and the Stuber thing is the poignant part as well in my eyes, because that's, listen, I thought that he was going to move inside regardless before the coaches started saying it on the record. That's been something I've been talking about for a while. We're going to continue this conversation here in just a moment with John Jansen before we get to Quentin Somerville. But first, I've got to tell you guys a little bit more about Rock Auto. You all know how much I appreciate the service. It saved me thousands and thousands of dollars on my car repairs. RockAuto.com is a family business. They're serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. If you go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts, you can find everything from hundreds of manufacturers, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet, timing belts, whatever you need. For whether it's your classic or daily driver, and it just takes a few easy clicks and it's delivered directly to your door. It's remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, we are here with John Jansen. You'll find him on Twitter at JohnJansen77. You can find him wherever you get your podcast with the MGO Blue podcast. You have Conquering Heroes. You've got In the Trenches. You can find him on 97.1 The Ticket in the mornings from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. As part of the morning drive show. John, when I look at this this Michigan team, I have kind of no idea what to expect. So with that in mind, when you look around the team, what are the things that you are the most excited for, the things you're most confident in going into the season?
Well, most excited and most confident are going to be two different things. So I'm going to give you the most confident, and that's the Michigan defensive front seven. When you take a look at, obviously, Aiden Hutchinson and Quiddy Pay are the headliners of that group, and I would throw in Cam McGrone. So you get two defensive ends that have unbelievable talent, create mismatches, a middle linebacker that I think is going to be extremely good. He's bigger, faster, stronger than he was last year. We saw, you know, throughout the season him grow up as he got a chance to play more and more, and especially after Josh Ross went down in that Wisconsin game, he was called upon, and we saw him develop really right in front of our eyes. So those three guys are the headliners of that group, but Josh Ross comes back and he'll play one of the linebacker spots. You got Michael Barrett, who is a converted quarterback, probably playing that Viper position. So you've got, you know, some talented guys, some experience. You've got a lot of ability the ability to create mismatches. And then you think, okay, well, one of the things last year that people were questioning was, could they hold up against the run? And that creates, and you know, what stops that obviously is mass in the middle. Carlo Kemp is back, but you've got Chris Hinton, Mozzie Smith, Julius Weisskopf, Donovan Jeter. All of these guys are bigger and faster and stronger than they were last year. And so we've got the ability to rotate guys in and out, keep them fresh. We've got the ability to, again, continue to create mismatches. That is where you get success in the front seven. If you double team, a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, well, then Quiddy Pay means he's probably singled up, or one of those guys inside is singled up, and it's up to them to win their matchup. And vice versa, if you double team Quiddy, or if you double team one of the inside guys, that singles up a lot of other guys, and it comes down to winning those matchups. So I'm most confident in the defensive front seven. I'm most excited about the offense because I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know, you know, we hear about these wow plays, from the quarterback position. We hear about this offensive line starting to come together, the ability of, you know, and the depth of talent at the running back position. We hear about speed on the edges. We hear about the tight ends and with Nick Eubanks and Eric All and Lick Schoonemaker that, you know, they have unbelievable talent, but a lot of that talent is just unproven. Now, if they go out there and they play to the level that we expect them to play to, and they come together as a group and they find this chemistry, that it could be something really special. So that's what excites me, is the unknown of excellence. And I can't wait to kick this season off in Minneapolis and see what Joe Milton's going to do from that quarterback position. I want to be wowed. And I don't necessarily want to be wowed with, you know, a 70-yard throw downfield as an offensive lineman. that's not really what I want to see, because to throw the ball 70 yards, if Joe Milton can do that, hey, that's great. But that means he's got to hold onto the ball for about 5 or 6 seconds. Not ideal for offensive linemen. What I want to be wowed with is accuracy at those 30 or 40 yard pass plays. I want to see touch on the football when you have Ronnie Bell going across the formation and then coming back, around linebacker depth. Can he put touch on the ball? Can he be accurate and throw it into tight windows? Can he, drop the ball into a running back's hands that is running out and escaping in the flat and hit him on stride where it's a catchable ball and he can look and actually do something with it after he catches it? So there's a lot of things that need to come together on offense, a lot of question marks, but a lot of potential, and that's what excites me.
Now, John, you've had a lot of big games in your career, both college and the pro level. How much of a challenge is it to open up against, for Michigan, to open up against a team like Minnesota, to have that tough game on the road? Obviously no fans, but to have that tough game on the road to right away to open up the gates. And I don't know if you were able to see much Minnesota last year or anything, but I kind of feel like what they did was a little bit of fool's gold to some degree. But nonetheless, I mean, it's a tough game. What are those players feeling, and how much concern do you have going into the season opener?
Well, it was fool's gold for about the first, seven games or so of the season. And they, when you look at their schedule, and I'll just bring up their Big Ten schedule, is at Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, at Rutgers, Maryland. Not a lot of winning records in that. And it doesn't matter if you're at home or on the road. Those should be wins for a team like Minnesota. Where I started to believe was when Penn State traveled to Minneapolis and was basically, Minnesota owned that game from the start to the finish, and I thought they might come out fast. I thought they might peter off towards halftime, and maybe in the second half we see Penn State, two or three years ago, where they were down to Illinois at halftime and they just smoked them in the second half. That's what I expected, but I started to become a believer in this Minnesota team after that Penn State game. And then when I really became a believer that they were at least a good team and a good program was when they lost their offensive coordinator right before the bowl game in Kirk Soroka, who went to Penn State, and they took on an Auburn team that defensively was an excellent team. A very good Derek Brown up front was one of the best players in college football last year. And they came away with a win in the bowl. And Tanner Morgan, that big offensive line, that's all a known quantity because those guys are back. Rashad Bateman is back. Chris Autumn Bell is back. But defensively, there's a lot of question marks. You lose a guy like Antoine Winfield Jr. We know what he meant to that defense and his big play capability and winning ball games at the end. Carter Coughlin, I thought, was a very underrated defensive end for what he meant to that defense, because he was one of the only guys that was able to create pressure on quarterbacks or was stopping the run. They don't have him anymore. So my question is, for this defense, what's it going to be? You've got so many new bodies in the backfield. Michigan should be very familiar with Benjamin St. Juste because he was here, transferred to Minnesota. He's playing well, but Michigan should be very familiar with his skill set. Linebackers, a little bit of an unknown. They've got one guy back, but up front, the guy I think that people who are listening to your podcast, who want to know just a little bit more about Minnesota, last year, not great at putting pressure on the quarterback, especially when they only rushed four guys. Boye Mafe is a junior defensive end who everybody that I've talked to in Minneapolis, everybody associated with the program has nothing but great things to say about him. And they are hoping that he is a guy that can win one-on-one battles, that can create pressure on the quarterback. So there's a lot of unknowns going into this game. There's no film on him. There's no film on, at least no meaningful film on this defense. So what's it going to take to beat this defense? I don't really know. Michigan just has to be concerned with what they're doing. They have to master the Josh Gattis offense. If they do that, I don't believe there's a defense on the schedule that will be able to slow them down. Offensively for Minnesota, it comes down to Tanner Morgan and Rashad Bateman. If you can find a way to slow them down, Rashad Bateman's going to get his catches. He's going to get his yards. He may even score a touchdown or two. But if you can, make sure that you understand if he gets his, we got to make sure nobody else gets theirs. And that's where Michigan has to be successful.
I definitely agree with that. And I think that that's the big thing. Again, Minnesota doesn't have the three guys, I believe, that they had last year. It all comes down to, yet again, another first round pick type guy in Rashad Bateman. But, and I'm sure they're going to be going to the air trying to test that that unknown Michigan defensive back situation as far as the cornerbacks are concerned. So we've got about 9 days here from the time that we're saying this until we know exactly. And it's coming up sooner than you think. I booked my hotel today, so I'm excited about that. John, really appreciate you coming.
I'm jealous.
I'm still kind of in disbelief that that I'm actually going to go be able to go at considering everything that's going on. John, have you ever tried you ever tried Built Bar? Have you ever heard of Built Bar, this protein bar that's out there on the market?
I have not, do they have a lot of flavors?
Oh man, they've got a ton of amazing flavors. I'm a big fan of this almond coconut. It tastes just like an Almond Joy, which is a candy bar that I adore. I just got the limited edition for breast cancer awareness strawberry flavor, which is, it just knocks my socks off. This is a protein bar that's low calorie, low carb, high protein, and tastes like a candy bar. It's not gritty. You don't have to wash it down with a bottle of water. I've put my money where my mouth is. I've bought, I think, 5 boxes since we've had this relationship with Built Bar going back about 6 or 7 months here. It's I'm telling you, John, it's an incredible, incredible snack or way to refuel. And it's something that I put my money where my mouth is. And I highly recommend it. You can go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKEDON, get 20% off of your next order. Makes it even cheaper than going and getting your other leading protein bars, and they have way less junk than the majority of them. So I am telling you, it is a wonderful, wonderful protein bar. John, I appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. I know we went a little bit over what I anticipated, but really excited to have you on. I wish we could do this for 45 minutes because, I mean, you've got such great insight. And again, congratulations on the 97.1 gig, man. I'm really excited about that as well.
Thanks, and thanks for having me on. I always enjoy catching up with you and to all your fans. Make sure, hey, no matter where you're at, you might not be in the stadium, but it is always and forever Go Blue.
It's John Jansen. Coming up next, we got Quentin Somerville. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. It's going to be a fan favorite, I'm telling you. And we are back now with our extremely special guest. I'm very excited to bring on one of the prize commitments for Michigan in the 2021 class, and that is Scottsdale, Arizona, Saguaro, 4-star defensive end, Quentin Somerville. Quentin, thank you for coming aboard. Really, really excited to talk to you, man.
Of course.
So the big story in your life right now is that you just received your All-American jersey. Tell me, what was that like, just knowing that you're locked in to that game, and just what was your emotions in receiving that jersey?
Yeah, I mean, coming from Arizona, you kind of get to see every couple years a guy go to this game, like in the past, Andrew P, who plays for the Saints now, and then guys like Christian Kirk, who played in the Under Armour, and Byron Murphy, who played in the same one as me. But, I mean, you kind of just dream of this every day, going to playing football in Arizona. So it's just a dream come true. And I said on my Twitter earlier, spoken into existence, but that's like actually true. Like since day one at Saguaro High School, me and the tackle that was that got the jersey invite with me, we've just been talking about this since day one, and it's really incredible just how it all came into fruition.
Now, so this was something that you were dreaming of being a part of then. This was something that you've been looking forward to for a while.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, since I was a young guy, I used to watch the opening every year, just and of course this game, just dreaming of playing with the best of the best. And it's just, I'm shocked still. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. Like, this is really just a dream come true to me.
What are you looking forward to the most about getting to go and play in San Antonio?
Yeah, I mean, coming from Arizona, we don't really get a lot of national recognition. So, I mean, I'm me and not only me, but Bram as well. We're just looking to prove ourselves on a national scale and go to work and just kind of show everyone what we can do.
Now, when you committed to Michigan, just to kind of backtrack, it seemed like, you know, like a lot of people were like, well, people were putting in their crystal balls. Some of them were, you know, tepid, not sure whether or not Michigan was going to be the choice. I know you visited. I didn't realize you visited until when I did your commitment article. I was going through my photo gallery and I was like, you know what? I took a picture of him at one point.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it kind of, you know, went over my head, but
that visit was all quiet. That visit was really quiet.
I didn't remember knowing that you were going to be there. I think that was one of those ones where it was like, oh, wow. Yeah. They got this big timer here.
Yeah. It was incredible.
What was the impetus to essentially get you to say, all right, this is the choice. I haven't been there in a while, thanks to all the COVID, everything, but this is the place that I've got to be.
I mean, since that visit, especially my recruiting from Michigan has just been incredible. And then, obviously I got to meet all the coaches and, Coach Brown and Coach Harbaugh, the coaches that I haven't really got to meet that I'll be, talking with like every day. They were just incredible to me. And then of course, Coach New, with that relationship since, he was at Arizona State, I've just kind of known him on a deeper scale because of my brother, being a coach as well. But that relationship that we built, when he was at Arizona State was just really strong. And I used to go into his office every day and talk to him. So that it was just really special, knowing that he was recruiting me this whole time. And he had a deeper care for me, I guess, going into this thing. And then, I guess that's what made me pull the trigger in the end, because obviously with the mix of academics and, football, it can't get much better than Michigan. And then with that coaching staff that they have currently, it's just incredible.
Now, how much friction is there between you and your teammate Denzel Burke, knowing that he's committed to Ohio State? I saw that picture you posted of y'all hanging out. But what is that like being on a team in Arizona of all places?
me and Denzel have been best friends since I don't even know when, like probably since I was eight or nine years old. So this has just been a dream to us. And besides the rivalry, I mean, that's going forward, but right now we're brothers and we will be for the rest of our lives. So it's going to be exciting to see who wins that one in a few years. And I'm sure whoever loses that game will get the best of it. But I mean, right now and going forward, we're just going to be best friends for the rest of our lives. And we have an incredible opportunity to go play college football at the next level, which we've been dreaming of for the longest.
Now, do you guys trade barbs at all? I mean, obviously you're best friends, so they can't be serious barbs, but
no, not too much. But Denzel always will have that upper hand right now. But I mean, I'm telling him every day, once we get out there, I mean, it's going to, we're trying to change this tide. So, this class has big expectations and, hopefully we bring them down to Ann Arbor.
Now that's one of the things that I had actually talked to JJ McCarthy about. He was saying, you know what, if they don't get it done before we get to campus, we can be those guys who turn the tide against Ohio State. We can be the ones that change the trajectory of Michigan football.
Yep.
How much have you as a class talked about that?
I mean, this is like every day we see stuff on Twitter and we're always sending screenshots in the chat to just kind of feed the fire. I mean, knowing that we haven't won that game in a couple of years, it's kind of just a fuel in this fire that I was just talking about. But it's really incredible. It's just kind of knowing that we have an opportunity to kind of change the tide and forever hold our or stamp our mark in Michigan's football legacy.
Now when you get to campus, I don't know if you know when you're planning on getting to campus, if it's going to be early, if it's going to be later, what your plan is there. But when you get to campus, what are you looking forward to most about getting back to Ann Arbor?
I mean, I plan on enrolling January 15th and in the thick of the winter, so I'm going to be excited about that one. But besides that, I mean, just kind of getting to know everyone. I didn't really have a chance to meet a lot of the people that I wanted to meet when I was out there. Like, I was just talking player-wise, but kind of building a relationship with the rest of the team and kind of getting to know the city more is just going to be really special. And what I've seen so far in the two trips I've taken to Ann Arbor, it's just been really special. And I mean, when my mama starts crying and when she sees the stadium, that's how you know it's real.
You know what? I feel that. I live a mile away from the stadium, so I walk my dog Zuri around the stadium just about every day. And she throws a fit when I don't, and she literally goes nuts when she sees the stadium. And granted, it's not for the same reasons as us. It's not football related. It's because she sees squirrels inside on the grass. Yeah. But nonetheless, so that's cool. You're going to be an early enrollee. Now, when it comes to your position, playing defensive end, how has Sean Nua and Don Brown, how have they said how you fit in as a player? Is there anyone at Michigan or anywhere else, actually, that you kind of look up to, that you model yourself after?
This is actually funny, but Coach Nua, I send him clips every day of what we've done at practice and then the games, of course, but he's on telling me, like, I look different in every clip, and he doesn't really know where I'm going to project, but right now he likes me at the Quiddy Pay defensive end position, so that's where I think I'm going to play going in, but obviously that's subject to change, knowing what, or once they see what I can do. But, and then, model-wise, I mean, I watch Khalil Mack a lot. Just seeing his violence off the ball and how he sets his hands and uses leverage to his advantage is just incredible. So I'm kind of modeling after that right now and trying to get some of those clips on my highlight tape.
Now, obviously, football is what we focus on, but who's Quentin Somerville off the field? Like, what are you into when you're not on the practice field, when you're not in games, when you're not trading barbs with Denzel? Who are you off the field? What are you into? What do you like to do when you're not doing football things?
Yeah, I mean, me and my friends always like to go shopping and just look at kind of some of the stuff. I mean, I'm kind of into the art and fashion scene a little bit, but that's just some of the things I'm obsessed with, I guess. And then, of course, music comes into play with that. But, I mean, outside of football, I like to play the piano a lot and kind of just hang out with my friends. That's all I do most of the time anyway, just the people that'll make me better each day. Just I kind of surround myself with and have the best of times with them.
I love all of that because I'm also I'm not super into art, but I appreciate art. My mom's an artist, as everyone here that listens to the podcast knows, I play guitar and everything. So I think we need to get a band going, is what I'm basically saying.
Oh yeah, we'll cover a song. We'll cover a song.
I love it. I got Logic on my computer. Let's do it. Let's get it going.
Perfect.
All right, Quentin. I appreciate you very much. Thanks for talking with us. And we'll be seeing you here in Ann Arbor sooner than later when it's super freezing.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
That was Quentin Somerville, the 4-star defensive end from Scottsdale, California. Super excited to have him on. Appreciate him joining the show. Also appreciate John Jansen for joining the show. This was the Thursday edition of Locked On Wolverines. We'll be back on Friday with the mailbag, with it taking place of our normal Thursday. So look forward to that. Get your questions in. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.